Well, we had our little Bible study this week, and it's been on my heart, and I kept thinking, Lord, what are you going to have me speak about? And it was like, what have you been thinking on? What is it that I've been impressing on your heart? And it was the incestuous man that we read about in Corinthians, but I want us to go to 2 Corinthians. This is where we were, and I won't stay there, but it's the forgiveness of the offender. Has someone offended you? We talk forgiveness. We say the word forgiveness. We say we should forgive, but is that our heart attitude? And when we do, what is the attitude? Even I'm one of these people, and this is just me. I believe the word of God does the separation. When the word of God gets a hold of your heart, that's when the separation comes. And you don't have to really, it's not even like you're working it. You have to do it. There's a separation because it's happened. It's just there. You don't even know sometimes why there is a separation. Because God is working the work that he promised us he would do. But our heart should always be, when that person accepts the word of God, or when the heart attitudes, there could be many being changed over one circumstance. When that attitude is changed, don't forget, you should have the whole time been forgiving the offender. Say someone doesn't talk to you. We get so offended. Or if they don't do certain things that maybe they do for somebody else, we get offended by it. And it's like the Lord says, no, I want your heart to be my heart. I want my words to dwell in your heart. And you're going to have to hear the truth to know it and to accept it or to reject it. We have that opportunity. We don't have to be fussing and doing all these different things. We can allow the new man to rule and reign in our hearts. And I like how Norm always says, one day righteousness is going to reign on that throne. And it's going to be, everything is totally going to be a Jesus, his bride, and they're going to have rule and authority. And I believe that God just wants us to have rule and authority of his word in our heart today. The forgiveness of the offender, I want us to go down the reason why we should forgive. So that contrary-wise, you ought rather to forgive him and to comfort him. Notice there's forgive him. And when you forgive somebody and it's really from the heart, there's a comfort there. You're going to know it by your spirit. That person is needing comfort. You don't know what God has done in this man's heart or this woman's heart. You don't know what kind of a work he's worked in that heart. But he says, this is contrary-wise, you ought rather to forgive this man and to comfort him, lest perhaps such a one will be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know, that sorrow can get you. It can overtake you. But that's where the body as one is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I thought on this, I thought of forgiveness. What was the words Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was Stephen's cry to the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, they need forgiveness. That's why Jesus went to the cross. God had to have that atoning victim. He had to have that offering to be offered up to God, that pure, spotless, without blemish, that lamb before God. He had to have that. Why? Because sin must be punished. But once it's punished, we must accept it in our heart. Once that is there, then you are able to accept the forgiveness that he's given you. What did Christ give every one of us? And I always have loved those words, continue ye in the same love, not different, in the same love wherewith I have loved you. You've experienced it. It's not just words to you. How has he forgiven you? In practicality, what is it he's forgiven you of? Then we have that same forgiveness. That forgiveness has been worked in our heart, and we believed it, we received it, we're enjoying it. So then when somebody else needs to be forgiven, You forgive as I have forgiven you. You're only able to forgive on the level where with you, not just what he has done, because he's working that in our heart. He's forgiven. He came to save the whole world. The whole world has not accepted him. But does that change the fact that Jesus' love for God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son? And you know, we think that God gave his son. What about Jesus? Jesus was yielding. He was a submissive lamb unto God. He yielded his life that we could come back into fellowship with God. He had to experience that darkness, outer darkness being cast and dark in that time. We'll never have to know what that feels like, because God sent his son and he said, I will take their place. I will take their judgment upon me. That fellowship, that peace offering, they're going to be brought back into fellowship with you. But are we enjoying it? So he says, I want you to forgive and I want you to comfort them. How do we comfort? Paul said, I comfort them wherewith he has comforted me. You see, Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be therewith content. He had to learn it. He didn't just say, well, I'm a new creation and that's it. I'm already there and I've arrived and this is wonderful. No, he had to learn whatever state he was in to be therewith content. Why? Because God is able to make all grace abound. So that contrarywise, you forgive him, you comfort him, because you don't want him swallowed up in that sorrow. Wherefore I beg you, Paul says, that you would confirm your love toward him. Show him your love. Show him you understand. You've been there. And you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you would be obedient in all things. Are you going to take this word as the authority and power of God? Are you going to listen to what I'm saying and take it from Jesus? That the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is sharing God's eternal love with us. Everlasting love. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. You see, the life you now live is in Christ. You live it by the faith of the Son of God. So as you forgive anything to whom I forgave it, he said, if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? Why is there love? Why is there forgiveness? Because in the very beginning of time, we know the fall. But thank God we raised up in a new man now. We don't want Satan, you see, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant. We are not ignorant of his devices. We know him, the Lord. And we know we're not ignorant of what Satan is trying to do. If it's tearing down the body and not building it up, that's where we pray and we make intercession. Forgiveness is what's going to bring back into fellowship. And to me, that is communion. That is the oneness of Christ. That's what's going to happen. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. In the spirit of meekness. Now I want you to go over. I enjoyed this more than I ever have in Isaiah 53. I want us to go over there because I was seeing things. I'm one of these people. I go, is that you, Lord? Am I just coming up with this? But I don't believe so. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revealed. Now, when we go through here, you're going to see Christ. you're going to see all this about Jesus. But by the time we're done, I pray that we can see Christ being formed in me. This very life that I now live, who hath believed the report? Because you can go to the New Testament and you're going to read those same words again. How do we believe a report? There must be someone there speaking and giving out the full truth of God's word. We want to be full, whole, and perfect. Say on mine. Well, you're going to have to take the whole counsel of God, and that's going to take yielding. That's going to take accepting and yielding to what God said, not what man says, what God's word says. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That arm, who is that that has already believed God's word? Believe the report. They're taking in the strength and the power, and I believe the very provision of God. That arm is strength and power. Our Lord knew. He already knew, and I went over to Luke. I'm going to read you something real quick. Right here in Luke 22, 67, 68, and 69. They were asking Christ, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said to them, I love these words. This is so good. If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you'll not answer me. Nor will you let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God in his glory and his power and his strength. You see, why would they not let? How did Jesus know that? Because he knew God's will. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to die. You are not going to let me go. You see, I laid down my life. No man took it from me. I laid it down because I love them. I love my Father. I love the people. I am sharing this with them, my love, that I'm willing to take their place. You know, I think of just little things that get on my nerves. This man had the sin of the whole world laid upon him. And let's see what he did. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is not a full-grown tree. This is a very tender thing. A tender plant. A tender plant has need. They know they can rely on God. God is going to give them the power and the strength. Because as a man, it would look like Jesus is so weak and he's so helpless. And why would he have to depend? He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to go to the cross. It's when we believe what we hear in God's word, that's where we fall in love with him. I love him because he first loved me. Most people want to say, well, I'll love them when they love me. That is a love of man. I love you because he first loved me. And he loved you, and you are dear to his heart. You are his. He bought you with a price. He shall grow up before him, not before them, before him, a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. You see, dry ground, what do people say? I remember when I felt led to go to Burlingame in Georgia. This is the driest old town. It's dead. Okay, when you see a dead, something's dead, what is your response to that? I wouldn't want to go there. There's no hope. All the more they needed the truth. They needed life brought in that town. They needed Jesus residing in the homes and bringing up those children. I have watched that town go downhill. They rejected one man that I can honestly say he was out there preaching the gospel continuously. They tied his dog to a railroad track and let that dog, what a suffering that man went through. Do you think God has forgotten those things? No. He said it would root out of dry ground. There's hope. Hope thou in God. He hath no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So beauty, don't try to, even the world today, they're trying to, perk up the gospel or the word of God or the churches. The more you make it like the world, and I'm talking Christmas included, you make everything according to the word, they're not going to come. But you make it look like the world, my heart ached. And if people can call me legal, that's okay. When I went past his church and I saw these big ornaments hanging all over the church, and I went, what are you doing? We have such beauty when you get inside those doors. You don't need these kind of things. You need Christ in you, the ornaments of God's grace decked upon you, that they will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's okay, yeah, maybe for us we have liberty, but I'm going to tell you, you may stumble someone who does not know the truth. You're showing them to be conformed to the world instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the good? Acceptable. But I want the perfect will of God. What is it? There's no form of comeliness, no beauty. Well, there's nothing in that church. I mean, think about this. We gotta get in here and dig. Because when they saw Christ, there was no beauty to behold. It wasn't like he had good looks or whatever. It says no beauty that we should desire him. People leave meetings just because they don't want their kids just to have to hear the word of God. The word of God is beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach good news. So you're going to take them where it's watered down. You're robbing them of the truth. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Let's see, would we desire these things? He's despised. Do you like being despised? Oh, I think I'm going to go that way. I'll tell you what the word of God says. You're an heir of God. But you're a joint heir with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him. That is not taught in the churches today. The bulk of the churches, it's being taught just rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Everything's good. Nothing's bad's going to happen to you. There will be no suffering. There'll be no sorrow. God doesn't want us to be sorrowful. God wants us to be happy. Really? Why is that scripture in there? Sorrow not as others sorrow that have no hope. You see, they sorrow, but there is no hope. Hope is something that is not seen. A man of sorrow, he was rejected. You want to be rejected? Walk with him. Walk with him. You want to be a man of sorrows? The word of God says for us to continue. They that sow in tears, that sounds like a little bit of sorrow. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. Acquainted with grief. He's acquainted with grief to the fullest. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You know, I believe a lot of people, if you take this into heart, it's like, well, we don't want to take that kind of stand. I mean, I'm afraid. Fear's that sin. That's not of God. And the other part is, when you sit there and you say, I'm fearful, you're going to have to take stands. You're going to have to take a stand that is not in the pleasing of man. This is pleasing God. Walking before God and God alone, reverencing him. Surely he bore our griefs. This is a man of love. He bore my grief. He carried our sorrows, everything we're going through. He carried it. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, we can sit there and say, yeah, he was smitten of God, he was afflicted, but we got to get down to why. It was for you. He loved you so much. He was wounded. It was for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All that he went through when he was put in that grave, he died for me on that cross. He was buried, but when he arose the head of a new creation. And we are of that body. All we like sheep, now get the sheep, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. And people go, well, I haven't, I still walk with God. Well, go to Revelation, go in there and look. Does this say anything about they left their first love? I'm telling you, if you really think and really meditate on that, who was your first love? It was Jesus, the everlasting love. He didn't just say, yes, Father, I'll do your will. And then when it came to it, he called on 10,000 angels and said, I quit. This is too much. He endured the suffering. He despised the shame. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. The joy that is set before us, we can go through these things by God's grace. But I'm going to tell you, you won't endure. You won't go through with cheerful endurance. And that doesn't mean all of a sudden. You won't go through all these things unless he extends mercy and grace to help in the time of need. No one is going to get his glory. No one is going to be allowed to rob him of his beauty, his glory. We like sheep, we went astray. We turned everyone to his own way. But because of God's love, he says, I want to make my ways your ways. And I want to make my thoughts your thoughts. And the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord laid it on him, the iniquity of us all. That's us. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And you know what? Never once did he open his mouth. It says he opened not his mouth. He did not try to come in and say, well, I don't know why you're doing this to me. You just don't understand, you know? Jesus sent me. You don't have to say all that. The Lord God shall defend his own. He shall defend him. And he knew that. And he would give him, God would give him the power of right arm and strength to take him through the suffering. He was afflicted. He didn't open up his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. But I'm going to tell you, he had to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I delight to do thy will, O God. I'm willing to be that lamb. It had to be what God could accept. And it was a lamb without spot and without blemish. And you think about that, that's what his bride is going to be. Everyone thinks the whole church is the bride. Well, they're not. They've all been espoused. But she's going to be the one undefiled, without spot, without blemish. Why? Because of the cleansing and the washing of the water of the word. The sheep before her shearers. This looks like he really is helpless. No, he knew this is what he came to do. He knew. Remember when he was praying as if it were drops of blood, sweat coming from him? Oh, Father, if there be another way. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. We're going to enter into that suffering with him. You'll never have to enter into the level that he did, but I guarantee you, you are going to enter into his sufferings with him. You're going to taste just a little bit of what Christ did for you. I remember my son when he was being beat up after school. Every day, the same old nasty kid kept beating him up. I won't tell you what George said to do to him, but on the other hand, I remember praying at the side of my bed for him and saying, Lord, he hasn't done anything. And he said, what do you think my mother felt like? I entered into just a tape, just a little bit of that suffering with Christ. And it took away the sorrow. It took away the pain. That was God's grace, not me, that I can go, oh, look at me. I'm so holy. I'm so good. And I didn't get mad and this and that. No. It was all about Jesus and what he had done. A sheep before her shearers is dumb. And it says again, he didn't open up his mouth. He was willing. He was taken from the prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? And I, you know, as I really thought on that, I looked at all the different commentaries, Spurgeon, just different ones. And as I began to look on that, who's going to declare his generation? You know, to the natural man, he would go, I don't even have a child. Huh, that's because they can't see it. We are his seed. You see, I'm the vine, you're the branches. On the branches come the fruit. Why? Because they're abiding and drawing from him. Without me, you can do nothing. But we're drawing from him. Drawing everything there is about him, abiding in the Lord. He was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, when you go over to Romans chapter 10, and that's speaking of Israel, 9, 10, and 11, but you always remember that Israel, maybe they didn't accept, but what happened? We were grafted in. We were grafted in. So have you believed the true report? Are you taking in that truth? How many times does Christ have to die for the ungodly? Once. Have you believed that in your heart? He died for all. One time. We're so concentrating and so thinking of the stuff on the outside that we forget what he's trying to do and wants to do on the inside of man. You see, that's love. That's when you truly know God's love. He loves you so much. You don't have to stay that way. A lot of people don't want to hear that. So show them by your life. He didn't want me to stay that way. And he kept loving me and loving me and loving me. And I can honestly tell you that's exactly what has happened in my life. He's never forsaken me. He's loved me every mistake, anything, because he's growing us up, growing us up. We are his workmanship. Well, he's their workmanship too. Maybe they're not allowing him to. Pray for them. Pray for the household of faith. You know, there are young children today gave their hearts to the Lord as a child. Maybe as a teenager or a child, they get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Am I too holy? Am I too good? Continue you in the same love, the same one that I have loved you. That's what you're to continue in. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Comfort as I comfort you. I'll tell you, in all the things, every time I get in these big, deep pits, I always go, oh, Lord, I used to go, please make this go away. And he changes your heart. And he tells you, this is where you're going to get your best messages of Jesus. This is where you're dependent. You're the meek, lonely, dependent ones. I need you, Lord, every moment of the day. Have you ever let your mouth just run and you could hear? You don't have to do that. Shh, be quiet. But you just kept spouting it out. Have you ever done that? I think you have. But anyway, I'm thankful for his grace. Do you see how his love doesn't fail us? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So comfort them, ye who are spiritual. You don't have to say you're spiritual and act like you're spiritual. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Dependence. Submissiveness. What would happen to that prodigal son? I mean, I always think of that. What if his father would have just said, nope, you're none. You already blew it. You blew your inheritance. He didn't do that. He did what he would have done in the very beginning. He said, I've been here the whole time. I've been waiting for you to come home, son. You get that fatted calf. You get the best robe. You get... Does that look like something a person deserves? No. He didn't deserve it, and neither did you. And that's the same love wherewith you are able to love those. That's love. I'm not saying agree with sin. If I was saying agree with it, I'd say just agree with it. It's okay. No, it's not okay. But I am to love them in spite of it and be ready to answer and have a word to them in season and out. Oh, I've had it. I've had people come to me. And I go, I can't agree with what you're doing. I can't agree with it. Why, are you so holy that you think you're so much better than everybody else? Haven't you ever done things wrong? Have you ever heard those words? You're gonna hear them. But that's where the door of opportunity. Oh, I'm only holy because of Jesus. If I walk in the truth, it's because he's given me that truth. And if you want to have fellowship one with another, you're going to have to walk in the light. And he says, walk in the light. Everybody wants, I want to know more, I want to know more. And he said, no, that's not my way either. You walk in the light I've given you, and I will give you more light. I'm going to give you more. He wants us to know all this truth. I thank God for the fellowshipping around truth. You can fellowship in many different ways, but I believe fellowship, there's a deep fellowship too. Deep, tender fellowship. John experienced it. He leaned his head on Christ's bosom. He could hear his very heart breathing, the very love of him. Why did all the people say, you mean one of us is going to betray him? You ask him. You ever heard people do that? No, you do it. You do it. They even have a commercial. Let Mikey do it. I mean, seriously, it's always let the other person do it. What happened to I surrender all? Lord, I want to walk in your ways. And there's only one way, is to abide in the vine. He will do it. And you know, people will say, you don't have to suffer. You don't even have to tell them, because they're, unless he opens up that door, you don't have to say, well, I have to suffer because, you know, I'm suffering because of this and I'm suffering. You got your eyes on your suffering right there. I just suffer with Christ, that I will one day rule and reign with Christ. That's when your eyes are really open. And that's what I want. Not even to rule and reign, like, oh, look at me. It's rule and reign with Christ, the one who loved me so much. He endured the cross for me, that I can endure. And he's there moment by moment, giving us exactly what we need. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.